Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Marketer Pitch Podcast. I'm one half of your host, Corey Davis, and I'm joined by my favorite friend slash co-host, Yesenia Reynoso.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Marketer Pitch Season 2, Episode 5, aka Volume 17.
Yes, and we're so glad that you guys have continued to take this journey with us, continue to listen in on this podcast, and continue to help us grow. You know, we can't believe we're 17 episodes in so far, and I just look forward to each episode debating with Yesenia and talking about our perspectives on different news in the industry.
It's been truly amazing as to the journey that we have gone through from the very first episode in season one all the way up to now. And, you know, just looking back into it, it has been so much fun, and totally agree with you, Corey. You know, you're definitely the best partner, friend, and co-host, you know, that I could ever have. And, you know, just, you know, talking all of these amazing marketing and communication topics with you, especially those that are timely and relevant, I should say, is really something that our audience can get a fresh new perspective on.
Yes. And to our audience, I want to just say, hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. As you know, Thanksgiving was 2 weeks ago. And according to the TSA, Thanksgiving travel was insane this year. So I know a lot of people traveled. So Yesenia, how was your Thanksgiving this year, and how did it compare to last year as far as just with your family? Did you guys have more people in your family traveling places, less restriction on just being indoors because of COVID? What was it like?
Well, first and foremost, obviously, happy belated Thanksgiving to the Marketing Pitch audience. I hope everybody had a wonderful, safe, and festive Thanksgiving celebrations. For me personally, it was very nice and serene. I cannot think of actually anything better, you know, to celebrate that with my immediate family. Ironically enough, this year was a little bit much more of an immediate family feel type Thanksgiving, especially after a lot of things on both the personal and professional fronts that I went through throughout the course of 2021. And so I kind of felt that this Thanksgiving was a little bit extra special for my immediate family. And so, and that's how we celebrated it. We had a really nice dinner. And yes, Corey, I will tell you, half of it was homemade. Half of it was restaurant. It was a hybrid mode. Nice arroz con pollo, some churrasco, pollo empanizado, aka breaded chicken, salad, and many other appetizers and desserts. So couldn't complain.
That sounds amazing. And it reminds me to our podcast last year, if you listen to it, I believe it was episode 3. I said I wanted the invite to your dinner for 2021. I didn't get it. So I guess in 2022, I'll get that invite to your great Thanksgiving dinner. Because this sounds amazing.
Oh, don't worry, Corey. I have you, you know, on my Thanksgiving invite list for next year. So don't you worry. But yeah, I mean, we wanted to, you know, for this particular Thanksgiving, I'm sure everybody had, you know, their own preferences as to how to celebrate it. We just wanted it to be, you know, within the, you know, the immediate family. I'm sure there's still some, you know, some individuals who are still feel a little bit, a little bit reserved about celebrating, you know, on a much more a bigger level. So people that I have known, you know, in my friendship circles, you know, they have kept their Thanksgivings, you know, a little bit small to mid-size travel, you know, what, you know, definitely picked up over the holiday break.
It did. Yeah. When I read that the TSA, they said that they processed the Sunday before Thanksgiving, they processed 2.3 million passengers. Which is the highest number since February of 2020, which, as you know, is before the height of coronavirus is starting. Yeah. So that was huge. And that record actually only lasted a week, because the week right after the Sunday, right after Thanksgiving, the TSA processed more than 2.4 million passengers. So a lot of people went out, a lot of people traveled. And I think people are starting to get used to, you know, like to say this air quote, new normal, which... Mm-hmm. One thing we'll discuss, not only are we getting used to it, but just start to see just different industries, specifically our industry with PR and advertising and marketing, adjusted to this new way of living and actually how we communicate to different sectors and how we communicate to consumers based off this new normal of living in a post COVID world.
You definitely hit that right on the nail, Corey. We're definitely seeing, you know, our respective industries, marketing and public relations / communication, start shifting their messaging to a much more quote-unquote endemic type storytelling, where now all companies and as well as us, the general public, are starting to come to the realization that this this COVID-19 virus is going to be here for the very much for the foreseeable future, and we're going to have to learn how to live with that. And so as we continue to navigate through these waters, conversations obviously definitely are on our end, excuse me, and as well as all other mediums, we're going to be discussing very extensively, you know, as to how these companies are shape-shifting their narrative for people to start coming to terms that, you know, this virus is definitely going to be with us for, you know, for the foreseeable future again, and as well as the new kinds of tactics people are going to have to adjust to.
And with that, Thanksgiving is officially in the past, when that means we are officially in holiday season. We have just about less than a month left before the end of the year, and I can't believe we're already going into 2022. I feel like this year, for at least for me, has flown by. And yeah, happy holidays to everyone. And dude, before we really get into the episode, I do want to send a quick happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends.
Yes.
If those are not familiar, Hanukkah began on November the 29th, actually. It was early this year, and it ended on December the 6th. So mazel tov to you all. Hope everyone had a great and blessed Hanukkah this year.
Yes, mazel tov and shalom to all of our Jewish audience members who listen to Marketer Pitch. Happy Hanukkah, and I hope your celebrations are going very well as well. So, Corey, before we deep dive into the episode, you didn't even tell us about how were your Thanksgiving celebrations. I know we're very much in the festive mode, so quickly chime in. What did you do over the break?
Oh, so you caught that? I tried to just, like, live. Let's just bypass what I did for Thanksgiving, only focus on you.
No. We can't escape that. So, come on. The audience wants to know.
It was actually a great Thanksgiving. I was part of that 2.4 million passengers because I went to Las Vegas for Thanksgiving week, which was it was a last minute trip. I decided to book it, and I need to get some more flight miles going, and the deals were very good, so I had a nice room, a nice vacation in Las Vegas, and surprisingly was not busy until I left, and I actually left on Thanksgiving. So my Thanksgiving was quiet, but you know, I'd rather have a roast pollo and ensalada and aguacates and everything you eat. So that's my preferred Thanksgiving.
Next year, my friend, next year.
Please.
All right.
Yeah, so with that, speaking of food, let's get into our meal for today. Mm-hmm. So as always, we start off with an appetizer, which is our perspective or take on a trending news topic. Then we move on to the meat of our show, which is called the entree segment. And then finally, if we're not full, which every episode we are full, just FYI, we can move on to dessert, which is a fun topic that we're seeing going on in the metaverse, I would say. So if you're hungry, Yesenia, are you ready to eat? Let's get into it.
Yes, let's get into episode 2. Oh, I should say season 2, episode 5, aka volume 70. I'm like, I'm a little bit in a tongue twisting turn. And ironically enough, while you were conversing, one of my cats is here fooling around, and so I had to take care of that first.
so no problem. So let's get into the appetizer segment. So. All right. In some ratings news, which I think this is very interesting. We haven't talked about sports for that much, but the NFL actually, surprisingly, this is very surprising headline when I read, I couldn't believe it, had its highest Thanksgiving rating since 1998 this past year. So the Thanksgiving Day games, which was highlighted by the Dallas Cowboys' loss to the Las Vegas Raiders, mm-hmm. averaged nearly 30 million across that game. The whole day attracted 38.3 million if you look at all the games combined. So surprisingly, the NFL, which we've known has been marred in controversy between Colin Kaepernick and kneeling and the protest against the anthem, to dealing with the COVID response and the lack of COVID response, and dealing with some diversity issues and the name change of the former Washington Redskins and the coaches and the players. And even 2021, we've had issues with John Gruden being let go from his sexist, racist, and homophobic comments. Mm-hmm. You've seen, an NFL player come out of the closet. You've seen domestic violence. So you've seen controversy with the NFL this year. So I'm more surprised that between the controversy going on with the NFL and seeing articles written last year that the heyday of the NFL is over, to see ratings not only increase from last year, but to do better, to do the best it's ever done on Thanksgiving in the past 20 mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
So what's your perspective? Do you think the NFL has done a great job of messaging and rebranding itself to be more in line with today's industry and today's consumers? Or do you think it was a flux that people are watching the NFL right now?
Well, obviously, we all know that the NFL is by far the most popular sport here in the United States, number one, as a matter of fact. But it has been barraged with so many controversies over the last several years that I've already lost count. But in all, I'm a sports fan myself, and I'm not as a heavy football fan than I am as a baseball fan. But those ratings, the fact that about 38 million were watching the Dallas Cowboys and the Las Vegas Raiders, shows that the NFL, despite all of its controversies, is still very much bringing that star quality impact. Is still very much popular. It goes to show that people are very much, loyal, to the league, despite everything that that they have dealt with. The response rate, as to how they address some of these controversies has been very painfully slow to non-existent. I definitely felt that the NFL should have done a much better job, at least on the PR front, to try to address these issues head on with some, with some actual empathy. But I think we can all agree that progress, whether it's in private or in public sector, is very painfully slow as people, start becoming much more aware with societal issues. But again, due to the sheer star quality strength of the NFL, as fans are going to continue to remain loyal to the brand and continue watching the games until something catastrophic, that may very much anger the fan base or fan bases.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that what the NFL has luckily benefited from this year as compared to the past few years is this is the first big year that I've noticed that there has not been any political geo-focused mm-hmm. controversy yeah. with the NFL.
Absolutely.
Last year, you had the elections, especially the last 4 years with Donald yeah. Trump constantly bringing up the NFL, the election, and his yeah. disapproval of it. And you also had to deal with, the different, different think pieces and articles written about the NFL. So this is the first year where they can actually focus on the game,
yep.
not necessarily on the controversy surrounding it. And then it does help that the playing that we're seeing this year is different. It's a lot yep. better. It's more competitive. You're not mm-hmm. seeing one team like the Patriots or the Bucks or the Chiefs just running away with it. Pretty yeah. much the best team, I think, only has 3 losses. So
yeah.
So it's nice seeing some more competitive play, which I think is keeping the interest going up and up and up.
Oh, that's something that I did not realize. Again, I'm not following the NFL season, but the fact that it's been super competitive across the league, tells you as to the overall quality of the season and as well as the effort from the players. I think, at the rate that it's going, I think it just, I think it just, it kind of balances itself out. It kind of gave the NFL, the opportunity for them to get back on their feet. They really had to navigate through those spiky waters and try to, overcome a lot of societal and geopolitical issues. And so the fact that they have been able to get out of it with as close to as few scars as possible and the litigation of the damage, now we're starting to see the NFL bounce back in some capacities. But I still wish, that they do a better job in addressing a lot more important societal issues and to do it at a rate that is very responsive and not tone deaf.
Agree. But for me, I will say, and I know I talked about this in the past, I actually don't want the NFL to talk about these issues at all, because every time they do talk about issues going on society, they do a terrible job at it. A terrible job at it. So unless they're going to find a great PR team or really go in to themselves and reflect on themselves and do a messaging that makes sense, I don't want to hear it. I'd rather just play the game and let's focus on these issues elsewhere on a different platform.
And I guess I could, I can understand now as to, it's not only football fans, but a lot of sports fans in basketball and more specifically in baseball, many fans are just sick and tired of politics being interwoven into sports. And I definitely do agree that unless if you are 100% fully informed on the issue, and yes, even the players themselves have the right to express their opinions. Of course. If you're not fully informed fully informed, engaged, and or educated on the issue or issues, then it's best if you stay silent. Many people view sports as a way to escape from the everyday issues. I think it will be nice if you're not, again, 100% fully involved in educating the masses. If you do not know the issue, I highly recommend you to just stay quiet and just go out there and play the game. Okay. No point in shooting yourself in the foot.
And with that, let's put a button or a touchdown on our appetizer segment and move on to our next segment. Any last points you want to make before we move on?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay, so let's get into our entree. And this is it's a little bit of a hot topic, and it's something I know in our industries, marketing, PR, advertising, that we're all going through right now. It's the end of the year. We normally work 50, 60 hours, but as we get closer to the end of the year, we've seen that going up probably 80, 90, and you feel like your work is insane right now. So today, as our entree segment, I wanted to discuss with you, Yesenia, is around mental health and burnout in the advertising industry.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very serious thing that's going on, especially in a post-pandemic world and working virtually. You would think that life would be more manageable and better, but we're seeing a lot of people burn out. In fact, in a recent study about burnout, found that the desire to work remotely is among the drivers that people are leaving the industry, because we're starting to see a lot of people starting to go back to the office, people want to stay at home. And a survey of 423 marketers and agency employees this year in 2021 found that 63% plan to actually change their job or careers this year from the advertising industry.
Yeah.
40% wants more flexible hours, and every respondent said they wouldn't consider a job that doesn't offer the option of remote work.
Mm-hmm.
So as we starting to look towards the advertising industry in the future, I definitely want to discuss burnout and just how we can prevent ourselves from burnout, but also what the industry could do as a whole to prevent this and to take care of employees, so that way nobody's mentally, feeling mentally deprived in their lives. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I cut you off, Corey. I think, this particular topic I think it's the beginning of a much more in-depth conversation as to the overall corporate landscape. And the reason why I say this is that right now we're currently undergoing the Great Resignation, where millions of individuals are quitting their jobs at a high rate. And some of the reasons that you pointed out is some of the reasoning behind this massive exodus.
Exactly. And it's something that I would hope that the industry, our industries would have took a hard look at themselves and fixed. Though from what I'm seeing, it's like they're not acknowledging what the issue is until we're going to get to a place where you're going to start seeing, a lot more people walking out, complete walkouts, where a client business can't get done because they don't have the resources to do it because employees don't want to work for a particular company.
Go on ahead, Corey. Go on ahead and make your point, because I think you were going to say something.
No, I have three ways we protect ourselves from burnout, but I just wanted to give my story. And Yesenia, I know I talked with you on a weekly basis about this, but my workload has increased tenfold. It's not anybody's fault as far as saying that, hey, Corey, you need to do this work. It's a mix of seeing opportunities and seeing ways and taking advantage of those opportunities and wanting to do more work, but the company actually relying on you and focusing on giving you more projects instead of looking at like taking a step back and looking that we need to actually give more resources to this particular function, this particular career, or this employee would be burnt out. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's dealing with burnout has been very particular to, and a bit something new. I always thought that this is the normal way to go about. Everyone in the industry works on weekends. Everyone in the industry works through vacation. Everyone in the industry works 60, 70, 80 plus hours a week. It's just something that we do. But now I'm starting to learn and read more articles, read more books about the problem with burnout and why not only is burnout bad for your mental health, but burnout eventually will start hurting the company because your creative juices, your analytical skills will be impacted and you're going to start making mistakes. It's just natural. Burnout creates a stressful workload and stressful workloads and also it creates stressful environments. So just at a time, especially right now when clients are looking for fresh ideas in a post-pandemic world, I see burnout going to be a major headache for agencies.
Apologies for that, everyone. And I'm dealing with some technical issues on my end, but we're back to normal now. Corey, I really wanted to point this out to you because you're not the only one who has been going through burnout. I as well have my own story about it, but from an opposite standpoint, employees aren't the only ones who have been dealing with burnout, but also people who are looking for jobs. That is also another arena where people are experiencing burnout, and not in a way that that people are seeing the results. And so for those who may not know, obviously I have my own little entity called Y Communicate, but I've also, been looking for full-time employment, and that experience in itself has been very strenuous, stressful, and very much different that it has led it has led to my own set of mental issues and as well as burnout, but I definitely what we're witnessing, Corey, is that we are witnessing a monumental shift in the way as to how we perceive the work-life balance. the corporate landscape has, you know, has forever changed because of this pandemic. Many people have now realized that you don't need to be spending the traditional 40 hours a week working a 9-to-5 job 5 days a week, you know, in an office, and then your 2 days off on the weekends, rinse and repeat and do it all over again. Now people have realized that a work-life balance can indeed be possible. You can now actually work on the week, and, you know, you can actually work remotely. And soon now we're starting to reintegrate into a hybrid environment. But I think individuals are realizing that what is the point in, you know, working at, you know, at a, you know, at a job, and the employer is not offering you from a value standpoint what you deserve. At the end of the day, we are all businesses and services. We all bring value to the table, and we have reached a point where we have been overworking so much. We're putting so many hours, you know, into work, that we have lost the aspect as to how to live a life. We've lost the, you know, the way and the quality as to how we live our lives. If you look at, you know, places, other countries around the world, you should see that the quality of life that they have garnered is 10 times better than what it is here in the United States. We have seen countries who offer better living wages, better benefits, better compensation, and as well as many other different types of work-life qualities that, you know, that keeps people happy. Whereas here in the U.S., we need to be bluntly honest, we have not done a very good job in doing so. As a matter of fact, we probably may be dead last, you know, in those all-important categories. And so all of us are, you know, are waking up, and it's kind of like a reckoning in some ways. And so I truly believe that, you know, because of, you know, of everything that has been going on, you know, not only in our own respective lives, but also everybody, all these other outside factors are very much contributing, you know, to this mass exodus. And Corey, and I'm sure you can very well agree, let's take a look at, for example, let's take a look at vacation or PTO, for instance. Countries in Europe such as France, Switzerland, Denmark, Germany, they have at least up to 4 to 5 weeks of vacation time mandatory that employees take. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to do that? Whereas here in the US, we barely take any vacation. At minimum is a week, 2 weeks at most.
And if we, and a lot of times we're working during those vacations, so it's not really taking time away and time off.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, I think if we really need to look hard, and again, this is, you know, the start of a real in-depth conversation. I'm at a point where eventually I'm going to tell my story, you know, from a job search mentality, because I definitely think there are areas that, you know, that we address. But I think this is a major wake-up call, you know, for us in the industry. We cannot continue to overworking ourselves, because if we overwork ourselves, it affects our mental state, it affects our productivity, and it also affects morale. And since we put so much emphasis on company culture, do the senior higher ups believe that having employees who are not fully 100% invested, do you think they're actually going to give their all? But yet, you know, ask yourself this, Corey, and as well to the audience, everybody else who's listening, take the time to truly evaluate what you have done in your companies, and has the employer or your higher ups been able to deliver for you what you have been expecting? Because if the companies are not taking care of their employees, then what is the point of the employees continue to overworking themselves 40 plus hours a day and not getting anything in return?
I agree. And just to add to that, and that's such a good point. Like, I want people to really actually take a look at what you just said and focus on that, because that's critical. And that's how you identify your value, not only your value in the company, but identify the value you're giving the company. But I can just say, a lot of our companies in our industry, they'll say that they value mental health, and they'll put in mental health initiatives and take time off, take time for yourself. But you can't say that if you are rewarding burnout behavior, if you are giving the promotions or giving the people or giving the awards to people who work on the weekends, or you, the expectations for people to get ahead is to put in 80 hours a week and to work on their vacation and not take time for themselves. So it's like a duality. It's like on one hand, they're saying to focus on your mental health, but on the other side, it's we're not going to promote you unless you create burnout activities, burnout behavior. So I just think that's one area that needs to change, and it's not going to change unless somebody in power really just takes a stand and say, I would rather lose business and focus on my employees than keep the business and don't care about my employees. The first leader that says that, it'd be the first time where we're going to start seeing real change in our industry.
I started to see companies during the pandemic actually offering their employees an automatic week off.
I was straight one of up. Them. I got a week
yep.
off.
Yep, exactly. Because their employees were experiencing burnout. So perhaps we might be starting to see snippets of companies actually taking the work life mentality a little bit more. But the question is, are they doing it fast enough? And so again, it goes right back, to that $1 million question. Has the company been able to give you what you have anticipated since you first started working at that employer? And so if you are delivering a certain amount of goods and services, or in which in this case is your skill set, and you are giving them everything that they expect you to and more, but if the employer is not giving you in return what you're envisioning and what you're looking for, then what's the point? And again, if the employer is not taking care of you, then you may have to seriously and legitimately question your standing with the organization, because you have every right to take your services elsewhere to a company that will truly value and give you everything that you expect professionally, and the same thing in return. It's a two-way symbiotic relationship, and we need to start going away from the boss-employee type relationship, because it's getting to the point that it's I don't want to say borderline, but it's becoming toxic.
Agree. And with that, I think we definitely talked about a one subject that I want to do one of. So we identified burnout as a source of problem in our industry. And I actually do want to spend the next episode, not the next episode, but next future episodes after our winter hiatus, going more into solutions and how we can mitigate burnout and what we can do. Yesenia, I know you've done some practices and you've read some books on it. So I'd love for you to maybe take an episode where to give our listeners some feedback and some ways what they can do to ensure that burnout doesn't happen to them.
Absolutely. This is only the beginning of a much needed in-depth conversation. So stay tuned to future episodes during the second half of Marketer Pitch, because we are definitely going to be discussing this way more in depth.
Agree. So with that brings us to the conclusion of our episode 5 of Marketer Pitch Season 2. Do you have any final feedbacks before we let the listeners go?
Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening to episode 5, aka volume 17. And of course, a couple of household announcements. For those who are tuning into this episode, and as well as the rest of previous episodes of season 2. Boy, I'm being tongue twisted today. All of those are available on across major podcasting mediums, our YouTube channel, and Thursday mornings at the Helium Network. You can also catch up on all of season 1 and the intermission series of Freestyle. Also, Marketer Pitch is available on social media. So we're live at Marketer Pitch on Twitter and Instagram. So please come follow us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, And we also want to hear from you too. Do you have any tips, suggestions? What are your thoughts on today's episode, burnout, the NFL, and many other relevant marketer pitch topics? Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. We definitely want to hear from you, and as well as any guests suggestions, since we're going to start diving into the world of guests in our universe. And finally, Marketer Pitch is live at the Wisdom app. So please don't forget to download the app and join us at our official page at Marketer Pitch, where Corey and I will be offering our insight as to marketing, advertising, thought leadership, and many other relevant topics that seem deemed worthy.
Agree. So thanks everyone for listening on today's episode. I know we kind of ended on a serious note, but these are good topics that we need to continue to discuss. So hope everyone has a great holiday season, and we look forward to seeing you on our last episode before the hiatus, episode 6.
The first cap finale, it's coming up in 2 weeks' time. So thank you everyone, and we will see you on episode 6, aka volume 18, the first half finale of season 2 of Marketer Pitch. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.